Thank you for downloading today's podcast from Pastor Cheryl Brady. We pray that you'll be blessed, renewed, and revived by this powerful message.
See, that's how denominations were birthed. When this group said, we are for this. And this group said, well, we are for this. And the other group said, we are for that. And so then people come along. And if you are a person that is like you love teaching, then you end up going into a teaching denomination. And the teaching denomination thinks the people over here that have spirit and life, they think that they are just shallow and they know all they know how to do is shout. All they know how to do is clap. Well, all you know how to do is sit there and be bored. I need a little life to be in your teaching. Hello. You know what I'm saying? And so what happens is the people who think that the best gift is the gift of evangelism, and that's the most important gift, then they gravitate to an evangelistic denomination. And then for some people, it might be like, oh, we're all about miracles. You think that is the dominant gift in the body of Christ. And so you have a miracle revival center, and you feel like you got to have church every night, 7 nights a week, and we all got to come and we all got to participate. And if we don't come, we don't really love the Lord, and we're not really willing to follow him all the way, you know, that kind of stuff. And you're like, we want to see miracles, and we're not going to stop till we see miracles. But see, I have a huge problem with that right there, because at the end of the day, it is only God that gives miracles. You cannot hold a gun to his head and say, you got to perform right here, right now. You know what I'm saying? And so we need all of it. I said we need all of it, but we don't need to just be stuck on one section of what God does. We have certain people who have the gift to pray. They have the gift of intercession to pray for other people. But the problem here is, if you take any one of those areas and you put all your eggs in that basket, if you have any one of those groups and you put all your eggs in the basket, what ends up happening is you get weird, okay? All of you that have the gift of intercession, don't get mad at me right now, but we don't have a specific department in our group that you can join because you have a gift of intercession, because I am the kind of person that just believes that the church should pray and not just a little designated group of the church. Hello? I believe, because it's time out for us being lazy and having to run, oh, I'm going to get so-and-so to pray for me. What you going to do? You want me to pray for you? You want me to fast for you? You want me to die for you? But you want to keep doing what you do? Hello? So we need all of it. Touch somebody, tell them we need it all. We all need to be taught. We all need to have spirit. We all need to be evangelistic. We all need to believe God for miracles. We all need to pray. We need all of this. It's for every, we need all of that. But we don't need to just narrow it down to that one little thing. I mean, have you ever known anybody who could pray the paint off the walls? I mean, you're just like, hey, man. They can pray the paint off the walls. Have you ever heard them pray and then felt guilty? Like, Lord Jesus, I might as well forget it. You know why they pray like that? Because they have the gift of prayer. I said they have the gift of prayer. And this is what's sad, is that if we're not careful, we will start projecting our gifts on other people. And so now you have the gift of prayer, and you get up and you pray at 6 o'clock every Monday morning at the church. But I can't always be there. And so now you try to project your gift on me. And so now, since I can't do it like you do it, when you do it, where you do it, now you don't think I do it at all. And you think you're better than me because you can get out here on a Monday morning. How about I stayed up between 3 and 5 and prayed on Monday morning? So we got to be careful not to project our gifts on other people. What we need to do is we need to find a vacancy, and we need to climb in there with our gifts. And I think that's one of the things I'm good at. I'm good at marrying the gifted people to the need. The gifted people to the need. And that's what we need. We don't need everybody trying to make everybody like everybody. All of our gifts are supposed to be different. And our gifts show us the plan of God for our life. So the second reason that we need to know what our gifts are is because they show us the plan, number one. But number two, our gifts show us our worth, okay? Our gifts show us our value. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, all of you form one body of Christ, and each one is separate and is a necessary part of it. 1 Corinthians, write it down, 12:27. All of you form one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and a necessary, if you got that in your version, underline it, part of that body. Look at somebody, tell them you are needed. Every person is needed. Every gift is needed. God gives us gifts to bless other believers with. And if you are not functioning in your gift, guess what? I am being robbed of you. If I'm not functioning in my gift, you are being robbed of me. Not everybody will do the same thing. But if we don't do what we're supposed to do, then we are going to end up lopsided. We're going to end up crazy, like I was saying a while ago, because we are being robbed of each other. So if you are gifted in any area, I want you to stop taking that gift for granted. And I want you to stop thinking, oh, yeah, I do hair. Yeah, my mama did hair. Her sister did hair. We just all did hair. You understand that everybody can't do hair. We tried to get our hair done, but if you ask us to do it, we can't do it. So what you have is a gift. You need to acknowledge it, and you need to understand, no, it is something that God gave me to do. It's something He blessed me to do. You are not gifted in anything by accident. I said you're not gifted in anything by accident. You are gifted. You are gifted on purpose for a purpose. And it's like a family picture. If you are out of the family picture, then the picture is not complete. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. We can have a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, but let one little piece be missing, and you might as well forget it because it's ruined the whole thing. See, that's why corporate, and I haven't talked about that much, but the corporate blessing is so important. I said the corporate blessing. When the corporate house tithes, when the corporate house sows seed, when the corporate house starts operating in their gifts. And I told the early morning service, I said, you watch God. In the next 3 or 4 months, He's getting ready to manifest some gifts in your life. He wouldn't be talking about this if He had not planned to show you some things. Whew. So you better open your heart, and you better open your spirit, and you better appreciate whatever God shows you, because you are vital to the puzzle. You are a unique contribution to the bigger picture of God. You are valuable. Don't let anybody tell you you are not valuable. You are valuable, you are needed, and God gave you a special ability. Look at your neighbor, tell him, I am somebody. In the grand scheme of things, I am somebody. If I don't function, something's going to be out of joint. Something's going to be out of place. So that's why I say those special abilities, those things that God has given you, helps you to become aware of your self-worth. I was telling the early crowd this morning that Isaiah is, he's going to be two in a Friday. And so he's pretty intelligent and pretty smart. And here's what he does. He's learned how to make Papa happy. And so Papa will say to him, Zay, go get me a vitamin water out of my refrigerator. And so Bishop has a little refrigerator in his office. So the minute he tells him to do that, here goes Isaiah. He is on a mission. That boy is on a mission. He is not going to stop until he goes in through the living room, through the dining room, down the hall, into Bishop's office, opens the refrigerator, gets out a vitamin water. If we could just teach him to close it, we would be great. but he usually leaves it open. And so he'll get that water and he'll go all the way back down the hall, through the living room, through the dining room, into the kitchen, and he finds Bishops. He says, here, Papa. And I'm gonna tell you that there is the biggest grin on his face. You know why? Because he realized he had an assignment that mattered to somebody. Hello, I'm gonna say that again. He had an assignment that mattered. So he comes in the room having fulfilled his assignment with his head held high. He is smiling from ear to ear, and now he understands his contribution matters. He is part of the team now. He belongs in the family. He does his thing, and it's important that we make our children understand. Let me tell you something. You are part of this picture. I can't do it without you. We need each other, and we are going to stay united as a family. If we can get our families like this, then we can get our churches like that. If we can get our churches like that, then we can get our nation like that. If our nation would get like that, our world could get like that. And then nobody would be running from a gunman, from ISIS, from any other terror group. You know what they got that we don't have? They got unity. They got unity. And they're willing to die for the cause. I said they're willing to die. We sing about it and we talk about it, but I don't know that we're ready to be about it like they are ready to be about it. Woo. So the third reason, write it down, that your gifts need to be unwrapped is because our gifts are the key to unlocking the fulfillment in our lives. Everybody wants to feel significant. Everybody wants to feel like they matter. Everybody wants to feel like they've accomplished something and they have achieved something. And when you use your spiritual gifts that God has given you, you are not only productive and you are not only fruitful, but you find fulfillment too. I'm not only fulfilled when I do what God has assigned me to do. I enjoy doing it. And it's fun. And I get a pleasure out of doing it because fruitfulness is fun to me. Whenever I see fruitfulness, I get excited about that because that's something that, tell somebody, fruitfulness is fun. John chapter 15, 8 and 11 says, this is how my Father is glorified, that you become fruitful, that you become productive, and that you become my disciple. He said, and I have told you all of this so that you can share my joy and that your joy may be complete. Real joy comes when you know that your life is productive, that your life counts, that your life matters, and that you are not just somewhere doing the same old thing every day, taking up space. And the word joy in the text and the word gift, both of those words have the same Greek word. They mean the same thing. And what that means is that to me, as I read that, I begin to realize that means you can find real joy in being what God gifted you to be. So when you find your gift and you get it, that's where your joy is going to come from. And when you take the gifts that God has given you and you unwrap them and you start using them, you feel this crazy sense of fulfillment that you ain't felt in forever. That's a good clue that this is something God has called you to do. And there is no feeling like it. When God takes your gift, opens it up, and he uses it to bless somebody else, you walk away saying, wow, that felt awesome. But you also walk away saying, Lord, you're the one that did that. I could have never done that. You did that for me. So let's recap that right there. The three reasons that we have to unwrap our gifts is our gifts show us God's plan for our lives, our gifts show us our self-worth, and our gifts are key to our finding fulfillment in life. Okay, so let's go on to the next phrase, and I'm going to be done in about 10 minutes. What does God want me to do with my gift, Pastor? I know he's gifted me, and I just don't know exactly how to function in it. So what does God want me to do? Okay, write this down. Number one, he wants you to discover it. The gift is yours to discover. 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. One of the ways that you know you are a real believer is because you desire spiritual gifts. You're eager to know what God has given you. And it is in you. When it comes to us having special abilities, we're all winners. There are no losers in that game. Because God put that inside. It said, I read it to you. He put it in every last one of us. And so because there is something in you, there ought to be something in you that's eager to understand what those gifts are. And it's not that God wants you to know it too. It's not like he's trying to hide it and he wants you to spend 18 years of your life wandering from church to church saying, I wonder what God's gift is for me. I wonder what I'm supposed to do. I wonder what my assignment is. Let me tell you something. It is yours to discover. He wants you to find it. And the reason he wants you to find it is because he's got a place to put you in. He ain't gonna put you in that place until you discover it. But once you discover it, then God will place you. He'll put you where you need to be. Y'all better help me say amen. Amen. So then how do I know what gifts that I have? Okay. So whenever you are trying to discover your gifts, you got to remember these two words. Write them down. Examine and experiment. Examine and experiment. I was talking about Isaiah a while ago. I know he's going to be a preacher. And the reason I know he's going to be a preacher is because he experiments all the time. He goes in, he loves to play church. So he'll go into the kitchen and he'll open up my drawer where my dish towels are. He'll pull it out and he'll reach in and he'll get him a towel. And we'll watch him and he's got a microphone at home, so he comes with his towel and with his microphone. And he gets up on the step because he already knows I gotta be on a platform. It's crazy how he's got all of that in him. So he gets up on the step, he gets his microphone, and he gets his towel. And I watch him sometimes. He'll get out, the other kids will be playing, Jaden will be playing the piano, and he'll be in there like, and then he'll take his hand, his towel, and he'll wipe his sweat. And then he has the audacity to say, neighbor, oh neighbor. I know that's part of his gift. You understand? Think about where you would be if when you were one, somebody saw distinctions about you. And all of your life, they trained you up. You know what? You wouldn't have to waste so many years of our lives doing stupid stuff. But because we weren't trained up. You understand? And so we need, as parents, our eyes need to be observant so that we can help our children discover their gift. Now, I'm not going to push him into preaching. His daddy ain't going to push him into preaching. But it's just going to happen because the gift is there. It's just in a baby form. And as he grows, all of it will begin to manifest. So what we have to do is we have to experiment and we have to examine. So here, when I say examine, I mean this. You have to look in your life and you have to look back. When you're trying to discover your gifts, you have to look back and you have to say, okay, what way did I serve the Lord that I really enjoyed it? Write that down. What way? You don't have to write what I just said, but I'm saying whatever way it is, write it down. And then so what you're doing is you're examining where you've come from. And you have to say, okay, what is it in my lifetime that I've done that God has blessed? That's important. In that season of my life, God bless that. Write that down. And then you have to say, what have I done in my life that has impacted other people? That's all part of that's part of the clues that will lead you into your destiny. And then you have to ask yourself, what have I done that's brought the greatest results for the kingdom of God? All of that is part of it. And anytime you can answer all of those things, anytime you cannot answer those things, it is a sign that you have not done anything, okay? When you can't answer those things, you haven't done anything. So and you haven't served, you haven't been in a local church, and you haven't done it with the right mind frame, or you haven't done it at all. And you will never, ever, ever be able to identify your gifts until you get involved. Maybe the reason so many people are confused about the will of God is because they've never done anything. You've got to get involved. You've got to experiment, okay? When I started preaching, I preached for this pastor in Baltimore, okay? I was in Baltimore, Maryland, and I noticed he had a big stack of envelopes on his desk. And people were coming in and out of his office. And they would go in smiling, and they would come out just like, praise the Lord. And so I asked him, I said, what's all that about? What are you doing? And he said, we're just doing an evaluation. He said, the saints, they do different things in the church. And he said, once a year, I evaluate them. And I tell them where they're doing good. And I tell them where they need to get better. And he said, it's just our process. It's how we do it. I thought that was amazing. Because if you're not careful, you could be doing bad and still think it's okay because you're just doing. At least you're doing it. But he put his voice into their lives. Well, what I didn't know is that he was going to turn around and start evaluating me. I mean, I just started preaching. I was a nervous wreck already. And so I'm like, oh. And so he said, you know something, lady, he sat in his chair and turned sideways and he looked at me. He said, squinted up his face. He said, you have a beautiful way of bringing him into the room. Well, I knew I was on a good start right there. I'm like, are we done? He said, you have a beautiful way of bringing him into the room. And he said, I didn't know you could preach like that. He said, they're going to call you from everywhere. And when they call you, let the call be the affirmation in your life. He said, don't try to get it from people. Don't try to get it from people, because that'll confuse you, because one day they'll love you, the next day they'll hate you. He said, but as they begin to call, he said, let that affirm you. Let that be the affirmation that you get. So what happened is, the more I made myself available, the more people called. And the more they called, the more I was affirmed. So if I had not made myself available, if I had not made myself ready, they would have never called me. And if they would have never called me, I never would have been affirmed. And I could have died and been buried with the preacher in me that never woke up, simply because nobody called and nobody affirmed. And I never, and they didn't call and they didn't affirm because I did not get myself ready. Look at somebody, tell them, get ready, get ready, get ready. See, the only way you're going to discover your gifts is to get involved and try something. I said, get involved and try something. God blesses people who serve his house. Whatever you do, do not come to this church and just sit and eat and go home and sit and eat and go home. Find a way to plug in and to serve the Lord. If you have never discovered your gifts, it's because you haven't been trying to discover your gifts. Get somewhere, do something. Go work in the nursery and then come out saying, you know what? I don't think that's my gift at all. But see, I believe that if we needed somebody, and we do, by the way, let me say this. I need some women that will rise to the occasion in this church. And they will say to me, Pastor, listen, if I need to work the nursery, I'm willing to do it. Whatever I got to do. Because see, we have a church that has children. We're the demographic that has children. And so for us to do all the activities, we need help. Somebody say, help. We need help. And later on this month, in February, I'm planning a night for us, a girls' night out, just for us, right here at the church. And I know you got to have childcare. Yeah, we're going to have fun. I know we got to have childcare. So I'm trying to say to Lana, you're going to have to get us some childcare. She's like, Mom, my options are running low. And I say, that's ridiculous. There are too many people in this church for us to have to struggle with getting people to work in the nursery to raise up children. Hello. And so my son-in-law said, forget it. Y'all go ahead and plan that night. We're going back there. We're going to take care of the kids. We're going to have pizza. We're going to have fun. We're going to watch movies. We're going to do whatever we got to do. Isn't that pretty awesome right there? And they started volunteering their friends that were dads. So some of y'all are going to do it and you don't even know it yet, but it's okay. That's the power of community. That's the power of community. And so what God wants us to do is he wants us to discover our gifts. And the way you do that is by getting involved and just doing that, getting involved. Okay. Second thing, I got two and we're going home. Second thing God wants you to do with your gift is he wants you to develop it, okay? Once you discover it, then you have to develop it. It is not my job or anybody else's job to, I will speak into your life, but ultimately it is your job to develop your gift. 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, do not neglect the spiritual gift that is in you. What he's telling him, don't be careless with it. Don't be negligent with it. Don't discount it. Don't be inconsiderate to the gift, and don't be asleep at the wheel. You've got too much valuable stuff in you to be asleep at the wheel. Some of us already know our gifts, and some of us are aware of what God has called us to do and what he wants us to do. But if we are not using it for his glory, then that's going to mess up our lives. So we have to stir up that gift. It is not my job. I can excite you. I can make you hungry. I can be an appetizer. But there ought to be something in you that makes you want to go home and open up the book and follow every scripture that I have given you here today. Because that, when you do that, what you are actually doing is that you are developing the gift that is within you. Okay, some people think they can't, they're too busy, or else they're too lazy, or they're afraid, I can never do that because I'm afraid of failing. I'm afraid of being embarrassed. I'm afraid of being humiliated. Well, the first thing that you got to learn is it's not about you. Okay, it is, whenever you are more concerned, when you are so concerned about being embarrassed that you would shove the gift down and not use it, that tells me you have a bigger problem, and that problem is pride, and that's what you need to get on the altar and say, God, help me to lay my pride on the altar. Okay, so that's another issue altogether. But see, the enemy will do anything that he can to stop you from discovering and developing your spiritual gift. Because the minute you discover it and you start developing in it, you start walking into the steps of destiny like you have never walked in there before. Second, let me give you one more scripture for that. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, fan the flame, the gift that God has given you. That simply means keep it alive, keep it going, don't let it die. Strengthen it, develop it, deepen it, cultivate it. Don't faint in the fight. Stir up the gift. Tell somebody, stir up the gift. Stir it up, stir it up. It is your job to stir it up. And I know it's a real job sometimes. It's a job, but you have to do it. You got to fan the flame. You got to watch over it. You got to adhere to it. You got to stir it up. You got to excite it. You got to rekindle it. But whatever you do, don't you let that thing die. You've got to fan the flame. If you don't have an opportunity, preach to the wall, preach to the mirror, preach in the shower. Do it if that's your gift, okay? Whatever your gift is. I just say that because that's what I do. But there's so many diverse gifts. The third thing, and I'll close with this. The third thing God says I want you to do with your gift is I want you to use it. Now, that seems like it's, you know, so unnecessary to say, but you'd be amazed to know how many people got a gift. They've discovered it, they've developed it, but they still don't use it. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever spiritual gift he has to serve others, faithfully managing God's grace in its various forms. The greatest place to discover, to develop, and use your gift is in the local church. In the year 2015, I want you to be diligent about using your gift.
Thanks for joining us today. For more podcasts and other ministry resources from Cheryl Brady Ministries, visit our website at cherylbrady.com. Also, join us Sundays at the Potter's House, North Dallas, at 9 and 11:30 a.m. Thank you to all of our partners who make resources like this available.